All right, as previously stated, we are so happy to have our Bible study devotion, and we really, as we mentioned yesterday, we really, really do appreciate Brother Roseberry's style of teaching. He does it in such a clear and simple manner for anyone to be able to understand. He has been teaching, and we have been teaching from the Way of Victory series. We are currently on the Study Your Word chapter, and I believe Brother Roseberry is going to be focusing on doctrine, which is so, so important. And with that said, we're going to go ahead and turn it over to Brother Roseberry now. Brother Roseberry.
All right. Well, good evening, church. And I don't know about everybody else, but I think that last night the enemy was shaking his head, his shoulders hunched, walking away, saying, I just can't keep them down. They just face every challenge, and they stay in unity, and they back the pastor, and they're having a move with God. I think we defeated the enemy again last night in our service, in our response to the Spirit, the Word. And last night, as Pastor Clark preached, he mentioned different types of false doctrines and the need to not waver from truth or settle for less than the full counsel of God. And some of those false doctrines that he mentioned were the doctrine of annihilation, eternal security, predestination, and others. We don't need less prayer or less word or less doctrine. That will only lead to error. And so I had on my heart a few days just to talk about the word doctrine itself. It's something that's new and unfamiliar if you haven't been around a church environment. But we want to take away any anxiety about that word and gain some understanding. And after Pastor Clark preached, and I don't know any other service for the last few years that I've heard him mention doctrine, false doctrine, so many times and point them out. And I just felt better about teaching just on the word itself, doctrine. And I do want to say up front, not all this material is completely mine. I have borrowed from other studies. But I'm going to try and keep this simple. And I've been given the theme of study your Bible, and we're going to focus on the word, the sub-subject of doctrine. But in 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3 and verse 16, the verse says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the verse says that it's profitable. You know what? If we're running a business, we want it to be profitable. We want it to be a success. We want to end up in the black. We want to end up with money in the bank. And we want the whole Word of God, and we're going to take this to the bank one day. We are going to get to heaven using the whole Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, the Bible gives us a description of the Word of God, and it says it is completing a list of items that are included in the arm. The whole armor of God. And you got to have the right gear to get the project done, to be ready. And it says here, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so the Word of God is going to be our defense. It's going to be our victory. And we need to learn how to grasp a hold of the Word of God, being a sword. Grasp a hold of it. Get a hold of it. Get it in your hand. Handle it. Become familiar with it. Become so familiar with the sword of the Spirit that you will use it in your walk with God. We are incomplete and vulnerable to the enemy without the sword of the Spirit. Now, a further description of the sword of the Spirit is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is going to go where nothing else can go. It's going to get deep to that deepest part of our life and our soul, where we're contemplating our life. We're contemplating eternity, where there's a place that God is calling us. And the Word of the Lord is going to reveal our thoughts. What does that mean? When the man of God begins to preach under the unction and the anointing, the Word of God is going to begin to reveal to us in our mind how our condition and where we are at. Now, God never intended we only hear the Word across the pulpit. There is no way to cover everything all the time. There's just not enough time. There's just not enough services. But on top of that, you will not develop or be strong in the Lord unless you have your own personal Bible reading and studying. And how else can we make this word of the Spirit personal and become familiar with it and handle it ourselves in our daily life? Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the word says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? That you may grow thereby. And so Peter describes a newborn Christian, a young Christian, as a babe, as a little baby. He's defenseless. He can't stand. He can't really do a lot. He said, you need the milk of the word, that you're going to grow. It's not our age of our human life that matters, really, when we come to God, whether we're 10 or 20 or 50. But we all have a starting point in God, and that is when we're born again of the water and the Spirit, and we must grow from there, and it requires the Word of the Lord. Now, the writer focuses on a different phase of our spiritual walk in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, and it says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. He's warning the saints here, it's time to grow. We can't be children forever. When you're children, you're weak and you're ignorant and you don't know, and you can be pushed around by things you hear. But he says you need to grow, and you're going to grow, and you're going to not be pushed around by all kinds of different doctrines, all kinds of different things that you hear. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, the word says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So he says to study yourself approved. We want God's stamp of approval. We want that mark of excellence. We don't want to be anything less than acceptable to God. And it's going to take study. And he says a workman. It describes growing in God as a workman. There's a building project going on in our life. And we don't want something that's substandard or unfit to live in. We don't want to end up with a temple of the Holy Ghost that leaks water, that's leaning to the side. Maybe we decided to build on the sand, as the word says. We're going to be ashamed when that building doesn't turn out right. And he finishes by saying, rightly dividing the word of truth. This tells me that there can be a wrong way to divide the word of truth. And if we do that, we're going to end up in error. We're going to end up losing out. I don't want that for anybody. I don't want that for anybody under the sound of my voice. So do you know what doctrine means or how to explain it? Have you had anyone ask, what is your doctrine? Or maybe they said, what does your church teach? What they are asking is, what does your church say it takes to be saved and stay saved? The word doctrine means to teach or teaching. It's a set of principles or beliefs. Specifically, we need much more than just knowing what doctrine means to teach or teach, but what do we teach? There are many doctrines. There's even more. They're coming up. They're popping up all the time. People are being led astray. People are listening to lying spirits. People are being deceived even now. Jesus first taught his doctrine to the disciples in the Gospels. He told them what the New Testament salvation was. He told them the good news that the Messiah has come, that the Lord has been manifest in the flesh, and that he was about to open up a new dispensation of grace where people could receive his Spirit. But Jesus knew that he would be crucified and he would descend into heaven, and so he taught disciples. These disciples became the first 12 apostles, and they preached Jesus' doctrine on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost had first been poured out. People wanted to know what's going on. How do we be saved? And they taught it, the 12 apostles, they taught Jesus' doctrine to the churches that were formed soon after the day of Pentecost. And so we see Jesus' doctrine being propagated and continuing. Now, they also taught Paul. Paul was a convert. And we know that Paul also taught Jesus' doctrine to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. And we see today that this teaching of Jesus' doctrine has continued forward in our pulpit with Pastor Clark teaching us, the saints of God. Now, I wanted to tell you that all church doctrine will fit into one of two categories, true or false, biblically sound or unsound. There will be no in between. The Bible actually has two overarching categories that all doctrinal teaching falls into. It's either going to be the apostles' doctrine in Acts 2:42, or the doctrine of devils in 1 Timothy 4 and 1. I know that sounds harsh, but that is the scripture. That is the word of the Lord. I wanted to point out that the apostles' doctrine is singular. There's not one before or one after. There's not going to be anything else that comes along. It's false doctrine. But the doctrine of devils, the doctrines of devils, is a plural. It's important to note that this is just continuing to churn and to develop. The last few weeks on Monday nights, and as an example, we're doing our Bible study devotion, and we've been teaching components of the doctrine of being born again. And they are repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. This is only the beginning. We're not going to make it to heaven just by determination alone, but we've got to be equipped. We've got to grow in understanding and be strong in the Lord, and this is going to happen through studying our word. Now, we believe, of course, the apostles' doctrine, which means the preaching and teaching of the original 12 apostles of the Lamb, as the scripture calls them in Revelation 21:14. We know there are those that are used later as an apostle in the office of the apostle, because it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 14, it tells us about the fivefold ministry, and there's the office of the apostle. Now, Acts 2:42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. This is where we get the term, the apostles' doctrine. Here are just some of the subjects, or we might call them tenets, of the apostles' doctrine that we believe and teach. This is not all of them, but just a few, is being born again, the oneness of God, the return of Christ or the rapture, separation from the world or holiness, spiritual gifts, communion and foot washing. And I have scripture references of all the, for all these, but we don't have time. But the word also gives us warnings. There are warnings to the church to be vigilant of false teaching and doctrine. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 2 gives this kind of warning. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly or urgently and directly that in the latter times, this is our times, some shall depart from the faith. Now, I want you to imagine this is people that have been in the church, that have been full of the Holy Ghost. This is people that have been in truth. To me, this just seems, it's astonishing. But the word says it's going to happen. They're going to depart from the faith. How? They're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They're not even going to be able to feel any guilt, any conviction, condemnation. They're not going to feel wrong because their conscience has been seared, as having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They've been. Second Timothy continues this description of warning. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 5. And I'm almost done. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So he gives, Paul is giving Timothy, the young preacher, some instruction. Timothy, I know it's not popular. I know some people aren't going to like it. But you got to do this. The sheep need this. You need to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. But this is how you're going to do it, Timothy. You're not going to use pop psychology. You're not going to use modern culture. You're not going to use all kinds of gifts and giveaways. But you're going to use long-suffering, patient, kind, loving. That sounds a lot like Pastor Clark. And you're going to use doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. To me, that sounds like somebody is going the wrong way on a one-way street. They're about to make a mess out of their life because they want to hear, give me some teaching that's a little bit more fun than that, that's more comfortable than that. Give me some teaching that makes it easy. What is all this about? I just want something else. I don't like this. And they began to look for something that they, you know, it suits them better. It passes their inspection. But they're not staying with the word of the Lord. They're going after fables, things that aren't even real. They're chasing a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Now, Paul, when he knew he was about to be a martyr, he warned the church also regarding divisive false teaching. And he said in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 30, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Why? For I know Paul had insight through the Holy Ghost. He could already see it. He could already see some things beginning to happen that he wasn't going to be around to be able to fight off. And so he's warning the next generation, just as Pastor Clark is warned our generation last night. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. We've been up at Brother Marty's house a few times, and he's talked about what happens when a stray animal, when the wolves, the coyotes, when they get a hold of a stray animal. You might be lucky if you find a few scraps. There's usually nothing left over. Here, the man of God is comparing people coming in and spreading false doctrine as grievous wolves. Oh, there's carnage. And he says, not sparing the flock. They're relentless. They don't care who they hurt. They're out for themselves. That's what a little wolf is doing. He's out for himself. Verse 30 says, also of your own selves. First, the wolf is coming in, but now he also says, there are going to be some men out that arise. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Somebody has gotten into twisting the word of the Lord, into making some weird doctrines, and they're drawing away. They're seeking to draw away people. Now, some doctrines were already having to be dealt with in the New Testament times. And some of those that are mentioned in the Bible is the doctrine of forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, baptizing of the dead. Jesus warned the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In Revelation, we can read about the doctrine of Balaam, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And Jesus and Paul, and they're both warned against teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. I have only one more scripture left. But what we want to take away from this warning is, let's not take doctrine lightly. Jesus warned about people that always said, well, we have more time. We have plenty of time. Let me make bigger barns. Let me collect some more things. I don't want to be concerned. I just want to take it easy. We've got to be vigilant. The word has warned us, and we need to take the whole counsel of God. We must know our doctrine. We must learn it, live it, and love it, as one elder said. The more familiar and educated we are with the genuine apostles' doctrine, the more quickly we will recognize the deceptive, slithering doctrine of devils. And I have one more verse for you tonight. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself. Take heed. Oh, pay attention. Oh, be aware. Oh, be vigilant. Be on the lookout. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear we. We're going to be saved in continuing in the doctrine. We're going to be saved in being vigilant in the doctrine. Our family is going to be saved as we continue to teach the right doctrine to them. Our church is going to be saved as our pastor continues in doctrine. God bless you tonight, church. Brother Vic, that's all I have.
And it was great, Brother Roseberry. Once again, thank you. Thank you, Brother Roseberry, for being so diligent and providing such a great lesson for us tonight. We can say so many things about Brother Roseberry's lesson, but I just made one little comment here at the beginning, and I really appreciated the great analogy and comparison that Brother Roseberry gave with the sword of the Spirit, and us learning how to take that sword in our hand, learning how to grasp it, and learning how to use that sword in this spiritual battle that we find ourselves in. Once again, thank you so much, Brother Roseberry. He said it at the end. One of the elders coined the phrase, live it and love it. I may have missed some of that, Brother Roseberry, but that's good. Live it. it and learn to love it. Praise God. Well, church, once again, thank you for joining us on tonight's Bible study devotion. We want to remind everybody that tomorrow morning on our morning manna, Sister Krista will be sharing a testimony at 10:15 a.m. We want to welcome everyone to come back to this same line. God bless all of you and have a great night in Jesus' name. Amen.